something that we know has quite a few emotional elements to it. It's something that's often very tricky to talk about. Frances Sullivan is the CEO for the Catholic Church's Truth, Justice and Healing Council. Frances, thank you very much for coming into the studio.
It's a pleasure.
Now, you've spent a little bit of time in our region just lately, I think most recently in Leighton yesterday.
That's right.
What were you doing with the Leighton community?
Well, the local Catholic Church in Leighton invited us to come and present last night at a gathering. Over 80 people turned up, which was fantastic, and I was giving them information about where we're at as a Catholic Church with the Royal Commission inquiry.
So what sort of questions were you getting from the community last night?
Well, they're the same sort of questions you get from every Catholic community anywhere in Australia, because the history of the Catholic Church is confronting and shameful in this whole area. Ordinary Catholics are ashamed, they're angry, they're confused, and that's the basis of the questions every time.
So how do you see a community where people feel, and this would go in any Catholic community, people feel very strongly about their faith, and they're trying to reconcile that with how they also feel about some of the actions within the church, that there's two different spheres, their faith and the church.
And I think ordinary Catholics are very clear about that. You know, they're very angry about the way the church leadership has handled this for decades. And they want the church leadership to be upfront, transparent, to suss out what's happened, and to be very clear with the broader community as well about where responsibility lies.
Now that we have the Royal Commission, over your recent years of speaking with communities, how have you seen the discussion change with the Royal Commission now in place?
Well, I think the Royal Commission has been a great gift to the Catholic Church, because it's enabled the leadership to actually come forward and reveal the truth. I mean, we have been criticised, rightly, for being less than forthcoming. The church leadership has admitted that in the past there were cover-ups, that there were crimes, that priests and brothers were not managed correctly, that there wasn't enough reporting to authorities, and that people were kept in the dark. The Royal Commission has enabled all that to come out in very explicit ways. And the Catholic community, I think, appreciates that, but they still want more.
So what do they want?
They want more than words. They want actions. They want the church leadership to demonstrate that times are definitely changed, and that there is going to be not only the policies and procedures in place, but there's going to be accountability, transparency, there's going to be auditing. And also, let's remember that the most important thing here is that there is justice for victims, and that people who have been abused somehow can have the freedom and the support to come forward and get that justice.
How tough is it for people to come forward?
Especially
in country communities where you are at the moment.
I can only assume, because you're obviously not in the situation myself, but I can only assume it's extraordinarily difficult, because the statistics say that only 1 in 6 people actually tell somebody sometime in their life. Now that sounds like it's tough.
When you're talking about seeking justice for people, for every individual, that means something different. So how does the church as an organisation work with that, knowing that you can't just do a one-size-fits-all approach?
You can't, but the first point is that people who have been damaged need to be compensated for that. And compensation, as you rightly say, has many elements to it, but there are some basic characteristics. People need financial support, they need emotional support, and they need to know that they've got support for as long as it takes. Now, those are elements of what you would call a redress or compensation approach. Now, from a church particularly, it needs to have a warm heart as well. This isn't just an intellectual exercise. And, you know, the church is not a trucking company, and it's not going to be able to reclaim any credibility in the community until it demonstrates with its action that people matter, and the people that have been damaged matter the most.
You mentioned there a great analogy that it's not a trucking company. This is not as simple as paying for someone's bad back and then potential loss of income. Because this is also dealing with some shaking of people's faith, how do you factor that in? Because surely you can't put a price on that.
No, you can't put a price on that. What you can do and what churches must always do is demonstrate they're prepared to walk with people for as long as it takes. It's actions that matter. When you talk about giving people pastoral care means practical support. It's not about just words. It's not about saying, well, we'll pray for you. Certainly you pray for people, but you demonstrate you've prayed for people by reaching out to them.
How well positioned is the modern Catholic Church to deal with this now? Not just hearing the stories, coping with, for instance, looking at the way the media responds and the community responds, but also this seeking of justice. How well positioned is the modern church for dealing with that?
Far better than it was, which is hopeful. There has been a complaints handling process inside the Catholic Church for the last 20-odd years that is based on trying to meet the needs of individuals, that is about trying to provide both pastoral and financial support. It has its problems, it has its failures. It doesn't suit everybody. These days, a lot of people come towards the church wanting a different approach. And we're saying we're all ears. We're also saying, though, that the days of the Catholic Church investigating itself are over. I mean, the credibility of the church is very low. People don't trust it in these areas. And we have to be humble enough to realise that independent investigation, independent determination of what is compensation needs to be organised away from the church, and then the church needs to do the paying.
And that involves a cultural shift within the church and within the hierarchy of the clergy to make sure that those levels of accountability, transparency, external vision over some of the activities, that's a real cultural shift, because it has been so insular in its management for centuries. So that's a big shift in a very short time.
You're spot on. And the Truth, Justice and Healing Council, which I work for, has made it abundantly clear that a new supervisory organisation for the Catholic Church needs to be put in place so that every bishop and every religious leader is accountable in a very transparent way for the services that they run that involve children, and that those services have to meet definite standards, and that there is going to be auditing and public reporting of their performance. Now, that's a real big cultural shift. But unfortunately, the Catholic Church has got itself in such a position that they need to do that to demonstrate their dinkum.
How far away from getting something satisfactory in that cultural shift do you think the Church is?
Well, we are attempting to put that in place over these 12 months.
And it's not an overnight process. It must be done correctly. So a speedy thing is not necessarily the way to go.
Not a hasty thing, but certainly a determined thing done with urgency.
And there is more to it than just making sure that it looks good.
It's not about...
You're not doing it... Exactly. You're not doing it so that people of the faith go and look at what you're doing and say, oh, well, that's a really nice move, and you think they're going to come back on board again. It has to be of substance.
I think, as a realist, I think nationally around 10 to 11% of Catholics practice. 6 years ago, 18% did. The child sex abuse scandal has had a very corrosive impact on the participation of Catholics with the church. And it's not the only reason why people don't practice. But the reality for church leaders and others is that to re-engage the community, you've got to get where the community's at. You've got to resonate with how the community thinks. You've got to feel the way it feels and demonstrate they're not set apart. And when we're one again, and this exercise can demonstrate that we want to be one again, then slowly credibility returns.
Do you think the church can return to near as full credibility as possible? or is the damage too deep? But that perception, even to be honest, walking down the main street in humour, you will hear the references. It's now become something that is entrenched in just humour, bad taste humour certainly, but still humour there. When it's something that is that deep, can you ever really get back to prime credibility?
I don't know, but like everybody else, you've got to have a crack and you've got to demonstrate that you're real and you're dinkum about it and you want to put in place something that is going to help people. Now, after that, let's see what the result is.
Now, Francis, you've been speaking with Riverina Communities over the last day. How long are you in the region for?
Oh, about another half an hour. The way the weather's going, who knows? But we're on our way back today, and as always, we're open to every invitation we get.
And for people who may not have been able to speak with you directly during your visit, because we know that there are Catholics far and wide, the four corners of the region, they may not have been able to speak with you directly, they may not have wanted to just yet, they may not be ready. How do they get in touch and participate when the time's right for them? If they do want to seek help on behalf of someone else, what do people do?
Well, I would really encourage them, because of the fact that some people can be really dodgy about contacting the Catholic Church, is to contact the Royal Commission, and I'm sure your website will be able to direct them to that. But if they want to contact us, all they need to do is to go into any website and just say the Truth, Justice and Healing Council. The search engine will find us. We do have a head office in Canberra, and here's the ad. 026-234-0902. That'll get you someone.
Do you feel like you're making a difference, Francis?
Well, it's not about whether I'm making a difference. What's important is that as Catholics, we start talking not only to ourselves but to the wider community about what we feel about this. And I think when you are real about that and talk about it at that level, people might start to listen. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're just trying to do something we think ultimately will help people who've been damaged.
In that case, I'll rephrase what I'm asking you. Do you have hope that you're making things better? Is it giving you hope that you're going to see something positive at the end of this?
Yeah, I certainly get out of bed every day with hope and optimism. And, you know, ultimately, as a Catholic, I not only am I angry about the history, but I also own it, and we've got to do something about it.
Very good to meet you this morning, Francis. Thank you very much for coming in. Francis Sullivan, who is from the Truth, Justice and Healing Council. As Francis said, jump on the web. You'll be able to find the information easily, and certainly if you have something that you need to speak about with the Royal Commission, don't sit on your hands. It's time to put the information out there.